You happy to be here this morning?
Yes, sir.
We're growing, amen? Listen, I'm excited about today. I don't know about y'all. And I have no idea what's about to happen, but something good's happening, amen? I really want to get into some deep teaching, but I want to touch on last week real quick. Last week we touched on three things. Last week we touched on grace, we touched on righteousness, we touched on holiness. We dealt with the fact that that is a shifting of what God has for you. Grace is for you to realize that God loves you and His love is unending. And no matter what you do, you're never going to separate yourself from it. Grace is not a license to sin. You're going to sin without a license. Grace is just letting you know that God's good. Amen? I'm not going to tell you where the end of grace is at. I'm going to tell you to get close to God. As you understand grace, you step into righteousness. Righteousness is right standing. Righteousness is one of these holy words that we never understand what it really means, but it is right standing with God. It means that you're learning that everything He says you can say. And when you begin to say it and see it coming to pass in your life, that's holiness. Amen? That's what those three things mean. Now, as you're beginning to use those things, you're becoming a son. Now, I take y'all to Romans 8. Every week. And we're going to do that one more time. Go to Romans 8, chapter 14. I don't know about y'all, but I'm excited this morning. Romans 8. You know what? Let's start at verse 1. Ryan, go ahead and put verse 1 up there. There is therefore now no condemnation. You need to take a pen and put a period right there. That's what the original text says. There is therefore now no condemnation. But the translators put to them which are in Christ Jesus because they were afraid people were going to use it and pervert the gospel. And I understand that. Verse 2, for the law of spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. Jump down to verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the what? The sons of God. Now go with me to the book of John, chapter 15. I'm going to try my best to get y'all out of here pretty quick today. But I have something that's really been on me it's been on me a couple weeks. We were in the lab at work, and My supervisor was talking to. We always talk about spiritual stuff that he does at his church and things we do here. We always have conversation about it. And he said something just in passing that they had discussed in their men's group. And you know, sometimes things hit people different ways. And it's something they had discussed, and he never thought anything else about it. But it hit me, man, and it set me on fire on the inside. And I've been mulling over this thing. I've been meditating on it for 2 weeks now. And I really can't preach it any better than just the simplicity of what the Word says. If you're in John chapter 15, we're going to read a lot of Scripture here, Ryan, so stay with me. Verse 1 says, I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can you, except you abide in me. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me, and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Amen. Verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Continue you in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abided in his love. These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, verse 12, that you love one another as I have loved you. Verse 13, greater love has no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Verse 14, you are my friends. Now he's speaking to the church. If you do whatsoever I command you, henceforth I call you not servants, but the servant, for the servant knoweth not what is the Lord, what the Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Verse 16, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you ask in the Father's name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that you love one another. There is so much in this, and I'm going to try my best to get it all out. But first, you got to understand, he's being very clear on some things here that we take for granted. I'm going to get to the points of this very quickly, but I just want to share my heart on this, because what we do is we take this text a lot of the times and we just break it up. We break it up into things that we want to use it for, when really it's all coming together. It's Jesus telling his people, this is what I need from you. Now understand this. This is chapter 15 of the book of John. You understand that chapter 14 was the chapter where they got together and were heading to the Garden of Gethsemane. This was his last major teaching to his men. Now understand, if he's headed to his crucifixion, why now? Why is this what he has to release now? Because quite possibly this is the most important thing that he's going to release into them. This is his last breath of meaningful words outside of what he says to the Spirit. Now, if I were to ask you this, Jesus says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. What's the most important thing for the branches to do? Everybody asks that question, who says the same thing you just said, bear fruit. The most important thing, it's not fair, you were in the lab. The most important thing for the branch to do is to stay connected to the vine. Because the husbandman begins to trim. Now understand, there are levels of this trimming that goes on. What happens is when he comes through, the husbandman is God. God's the pruner. He's the gardener. And when you're taking care of things, you begin to, if you see something that's not bearing fruit, first of all, you just begin to remove what's hindering it on it. You know, if there's a sap problem, or if there's a little bit of dead growth, you scrape those things back. You got to understand, removing the limb is the furthest thing from God's mind in the beginning. So there are things in our lives that Jesus is trying to get us to understand. There are things that we have to be connected to. Because the thing that I'm connected to is what brings proper life into who I am. And we've run around in this rebellious stage of the church. And we've hopped and we've hopped and we've hopped. And we've chased and hey, listen, I'm getting on Alan first because I did it more than anybody in this room. I chased this anointing and I chased that anointing. I chased this prayer line and I chased that prayer line. I want this to be my spiritual father. No, I want that to be my spiritual father. When the truth of the matter is, if I were to just abide it, if I would have just stayed connected, I would not have hindered myself near as long as I did. I would have heard, I would have said, and I would have seen. Jesus is telling us his very last teaching, if you stay close to the Father, if you stay attached to me and I'm attached to him, he's at the right hand, then everything I say to you is pure and holy. And we got a lot of people running around praying in tongues, calling it God, and saying God said, and God ain't said jack. And we get a whole lot of people saying, well, I'm anointed to do this. It doesn't really matter what you think you're anointed to do. Just do what he said and he'll anoint you to do it. It was never meant to be singular on you. You're a part of a body. You're a branch to the true vine. You're a part of something greater than you. And our ministries stay stagnant because they become our ministries. You understand, the only reason I take ownership of this ministry is because I have to answer as a steward. And I'll lead it, as he says, no matter who I bless or who I aggravate. And I don't want to aggravate anybody. But I have to do it the way God says do it. But it's not because Alan said. Now, I got up in an Alan said for a long time. We all do that. But God needs you to stay focused on him. That's right. I got agreement. Y'all ain't shouting. He's shouting with me. Now, listen. What we do is we get caught up in thinking we know more. Let me try. I'm going to do my best to break this down. As a musician, when I began to play music and become really successful at it, was traveling around and I had, you know, record labels, different, all these things going on, and you know, and I love to still play now. But there came a time when I could be juiced up on any amount of alcohol or pills or whatever it is I was putting in my body that night and still perform. You understand? The church is doing that now. We got a whole lot of people that still perform. That's why I'm so happy you started the way you started today. Because it's not about the right three songs. It's about what's God saying right now. God, what do you want me to do right now? Because what happens is the giftings and callings of God are without repentance. You agree with me, right? The Word says that, correct? The giftings and callings of God are without repentance. And when you get to the place that you understand you're gifted in an area, listen to me, it's without repentance, which means it's going to operate whether it's in God or not. You are going to be able to flow in certain things whether God's telling you to or not. That's why we got a whole lot of people standing here laying hands on people, flowing in a gift that sounds holy and ain't attached to nothing. That's all right. When you understand that you have a gift and you know how to flow in it, it becomes second nature. What a break. But now let me explain why this happens. And I know I can feel it. Half of y'all are going like, you can't do that. Really? Really? I mean, come on now. There's TV ministries you watch and you know good and doggone well. There's ministries in tent revivals in different churches you've been to and you know doggone well they're doing what they want to do. But yet, here's the thing. People are getting blessed and people are getting healed. And people ask, why is that? Because the gift's still going to operate and God's grace still applies. But let me tell you something. This is what you need to understand. Here's how it works. If I am not attached to God like I should be, but yet I'm operating the gift, the person that I'm operating the gift toward is still going to get blessed. But I am empty as all get out. That's how God's grace works. Now, I'm not saying that to put down other preachers, because I'm talking about Alan more than I'm talking about anybody. And what happens is when somebody learns how to operate in a gift, I know some of the ministries that I know are really close to me, and I love them with all my heart, and I'm not judging them, but they've learned how to flow in a gift, and their character is not adding up to the gift. Yet the gift is operating, but their ministry is stagnant. There's always trouble. There's always problems. And let me tell you something. You can always tell where a man's gift is equal to his character when you look at his family. Now, I'm just giving you reference when you go and sitting under a minister. You better look at his family. Because if there's chaos in that family, the gift is not lining up to the character. Somewhere, somehow, some way, there is still a flaw. Now, we're talking about public ministry over people. Now, understand, I'm not talking about people in the pew. I'm pulling back the curtain on preachers right now, okay? Because I want y'all to look at me and know I'm transparent. I'll tell you, I got problems. I mess up just like any other flesh man in this room. But my heart's desire is to hit my face before the Lord every day and say, what do you want me to do? I am a flawed piece of clay. Understand this. The problem was never, ever, ever what we thought it was. It wasn't that the potter's hands made a flawed piece. It's that the materials were flawed. We're not going to change our flaws. But we don't have to flow in them. And we don't have to fall into them. And God wants us to be who we are. But the best who we are we can be in Him. He doesn't need a bunch of Allens running around. He doesn't need a bunch of Benny Hinn's running around. He doesn't need a bunch of Rob Parsons running around or Joel Osteen's running around. He's got them. He needs you to be you. There is a group of people in this county, in this region, that you are ordained to reach. And there is a gift on the inside of you that only you can flow in. And God needs you to be you. Now, the holy you, the sanctified you, the righteous you, the you that understands grace, that you're releasing what He put in you in so many. It's not an issue of can we go outreach enough. It's an issue, can we reach up enough and touch God that this place is full with what He wants to be full of. You have something to release. You have something to release. You have something to release. And if it's just me, we're wasting time. That's why you have to connect. You ever seen one tree with one branch look like that Charlie Brown Christmas tree? Y'all, that's what most churches look like, because you got big, big me and little you. And the church is a team effort. I can't do everything. I can only do what I'm called to do. I can help in so many areas, but I'm not called to do everything. It sounds funny, but think about if I'm over there playing the drums and run up to the mic and sing and run over here and strum the guitar and then run over back to the drum. How long y'all gonna sit here like this? But that's what the church is doing now. And we're waiting on somebody to tell us we're good enough. I got news for you. Ain't none of us good enough. It's the blood of Jesus. And it's the grace of God. And that's all you need. The divide is so big, but the grace is so much bigger. See, when Jesus says, I'm the true vine, understand everything He's telling you. Let me read this to you. Verse 13. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friends. Do what I command you to do. I love the word command. He's not demanding. He's commanding. See, if He demands, you got a right to rebel. If He commands, it's an army. Does that make sense to you? Now listen. Verse 7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, that's righteousness coming out as holiness. If you're saying what He said with faith, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. It shall be done. Amen. He didn't put any parameters. If you're hearing the Lord and saying what thus saith the Lord, it shall be done. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. Now, I want to show you something. Verse 16, you have chosen me. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. See, Jesus went a step further. That you should go and bring forth fruit, listen, and that your fruit should remain. Now I'm fixing to mess you up. This is not the blessing. Not that what you think. Because the human mind says the blessing and the harvest are commingled. We think, oh, well, we're bringing forth another fruit. Fruit's going to remain. That's harvest. No. Harvest. Listen, let me tell you something about harvest. How many times you ever brought in the crop? Some of y'all ain't never had a garden. I hate them, by the way. But if you bring it in, that stuff ain't going to remain. It's going to die. But yet He said He wants your fruit to remain. That's not a blessing. That's the blessing that you read about in Proverbs 10 and 22. The blessing of God makes rich, adds no sorrow, no toil, no hard work. Does that mean you don't have to have jobs? That's not what I'm saying. It's no hard work. It means when you're in the place that you hear God and God says, Alan, I want you to start a church. I'm taking you into a new facility. Your whole ministry shifting. Then we walk in here so easy, we still think somebody's going to come take this thing from us. It was so easy. That's fruit and fruit remaining. Now it comes to life. Because we've lived our life with such a prosperity mindset that we don't really know what the blessing is. We don't really understand that the blessing of God makes rich and adds no sorrow to it, or no toil, no hard work. What that means is, I'm going to provide for you. If you do what I say, if you release what I tell you to release, if you're walking the love walk, it is not so hard that we can't get it, because if it was built on intellect, not all of us would make it. If it was built on intelligence, if it was built on looks, if it was built on our ability to earn money, if it was built on our ability to give, if it was built on all those things, somebody would fail. It's built on faith. Everybody can believe something. I'm not asking you to believe in me. Believe in Him. And if He's working and He's speaking to you to connect, you need to connect, because He's got fruit that remains for you. I've learned that lesson. I chased everything, brother. I went all over this state chasing different people and trying to connect and trying. And it wasn't anything that God wanted me to be the right in the right place at the right time. And I missed it so many times. But now, Alan don't care anymore. When I laid, y'all have heard me tell this story, but when I laid on that floor in the old building, and I said, God, I've tried for so many years now. At that point, it was probably 7 or 8 years. I said, God, I've tried for so long. I'm tired. I quit. I'm done. At my lowest point, God spoke and said, do you want to know who you are? You think? I've only been laying on this floor for 7 years. But Alan laid there for 7 years, talking about what Alan wanted. Now Alan didn't care anymore. And the essence of who I really am, my spirit cried out. And that's when God spoke to me about sonship. And I won't adjust that until God says to. That's why every service we start with the same text, because that text changed my life. And that's what God said preach, and that's what I'll preach. But it came to the fact that that's the fruit He wanted me to bear, because that was the blessing and that fruit would remain. Y'all, when I go to Canaan land now, those guys are making fun of me because they're already there. You know, I don't even have to tell them where I'm going. They're already there. That's making a mark. When you call down there and you book up, the first thing they say, oh, you ain't coming with that sonship stuff, are you? But they, you know, they're joking. But the point is, they know that's who I am. When I say Tiger Woods, what do you say? Golf. When I say Brett Favre, what do you say? Now you get into the ministry world, you say Benny Hinn, what do you say? Healing. When you say Alan Bailey, all until God changes it, I want people to say He teaches sonship. Because I don't really care if you know my name. As long as you know His word. And as long as when you walk out of here, you're different than when you walked in. And as long as when you walk out of here, you can go show love to somebody that you've never shown to anybody else, because you never knew you could be loved like that. You never knew that God sees you that special. You never knew who you were. But you don't matter, but it's Him in you. And when He grows up in you, you become the best you you can be. Your words are His. Your actions are His. And the results are His. You don't have to make nothing happen. When I stand up here and I release the things when over healing and different things that God, you know what? I was trained. Here goes the curtain on ministry again. I was trained in the Pentecostal world that when God begins to move that way, you need to call everybody to the front because people need to see God moving. Well, if you have to see it, you Thomas. My job is just to release it. If God tells me to lay hands on somebody, I'm going to. I don't know how many of y'all have ever seen the video of my ordination. But God had already started talking this stuff to me. And the night of my ordination, the man of God stood in front of me and said that very thing. From time to time, you'll lay hands on. And I'll tell you when to do it, saith the Lord. So if I start making a line every Sunday and making a show, then it's about Alan. It's not about what God said. But yet, does that mean healing can flow better because Alan's involved? No, 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 no. Actually, if I'm out of the way, you can believe a whole lot more, because when you come up here, you start thinking about who's watching me, who's looking at me. The flesh gets involved. It's a much more pure way of ministering. Now I'm talking about pastoral ministry. Now if God tells me to lay hands on people, I love it, man. I love it when the time comes that God has me come bring people up and I can lay hands on them and pray in the Holy Ghost and shine up some knuckleheads. I love it. But it's when He says. And we're not trained to understand those things. We're trained to flow. And we're flowing in what we know. And God's got so much greater. So much greater. It's just like the praise team. If they came in here and sang what they know, or start out like they did today, so much greater anointing. They're always anointed. Thank God for that. But so much greater when God gets involved. Now understand, let me tell you something. The Bible says when you raise up a child in the way that he should go, when he's old, he won't depart from it. That's not talking about beating him over his head and making him go to church. It's raising him up by the word. Putting in him what thus saith the Lord. Being the priest of your household and speaking life and speaking love, and that'll come out. They won't walk away from that. That's what that's talking about. It's talking about teaching your children how to be connected, not only to you as their spiritual father and physical father, but be connected to the vine and to hear his voice. The reason the ministry of sonship has become so important, and it's not just me, there are many other people preaching this, but in this region, the reason it's so important is because in this region, there's a whole bunch of bastards running around. Don't get offended at me. That's what that means. They have no father. That's what's destroying this reed. Y'all, it's not just the meth devil. The meth devil gets a place because they never had a daddy. Even if they had somebody that lived there with them, they wasn't teaching them the word. We're in such a religious, rebellious region. Most people wouldn't even know the word if it walked up and slapped them right in the face. Because we don't. We've never been taught. If we're Pentecostal, we're too Pentecostal for the word, and we don't need the word, we're just going to worship. And if we're non-Pentecostal, we just want the word and we never worship. We never mesh the two, so we never hear God. That's got to change. It's not about the style of the service or the song that's sang. It's not about who you're ordained by or who you're connected with, except for you and God. When you're connected with God, God puts you with the people he wants you to be with. Nobody was ever meant to be a lone ranger in the ministry. Ever. I tried that lone ranger stuff. I almost lost my life. I almost lost my wife. I almost lost my family. I lost my health. Lost my money. I'm telling you, you have to be somewhere. God's plan is for that his sons and daughters to be launched, not to be thrown out. And we got a region, and we got a timing, and we've got a season of ministers. Those overs have not been fathers. They've not been. I never had a true spiritual father till Matt Gerber came into my life. I'd been in ministry, what, almost 8-9 years when that happened. And I'm out here bouncing around doing Alan's thing. So what does that mean? What's all the stuff you're trying to get to us? Well, go back to verse 16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain. Now listen. You haven't chosen him. He chose you. The Bible says many are called, few are chosen. You know what that means? That means a whole lot of people God speaks to, but a few of them speak back. That's what that means. God wants every single one of us to be walking in the chosen calling for our lives. Every single person in this room has a gift that's valuable, important to this region, to this body, and what God's called us to do. I'm telling you right now, this was never meant to be just a social club. Churches weren't meant to be that. And I'm going to blow your mind with this. It was never meant to be a hospital for the hurting. Thank God we can be. But it was meant to be a reporting station where you come in from battle and shout your victory.
I like that.
That's what it's for. It's for you to walk in here and say, "Yes, sir, I won. I win. I can't lose for winning. I can't go down for overcoming. I can't get sick because healing's all over me. I can't be broke because money just showing up. I can't hate because I got so much love in me." That's the life God wants you to live. That's the life that Jesus put in you. And that's being connected to the vine, because it's not about what the branches bring to the vine, but what the vine puts in the branches. Stop worrying about what God's called you to do. What's He saying right now? Go do it right now. Connect right now. Do what He said right now. Love right now. Accept your healing right now. Accept the fact that He loves you right now. Accept that this is not the end, but only the beginning. And blessing is flowing if you want it. But all this stuff starts with one word, might. It's all up to you. Many are called, few are chosen. It's completely up to you to choose back. And my heart's desire is that everybody walks out of this place today and chooses back. Now go back to the book of, you know what? Go to the book of 1 John. Y'all getting anything out of this? First John. 1 John, 2 John, Jude, Revelation. So that'll give you an idea where it's in the Bible. Are you there? Yes. Book of 1 John. Verse 4. Chapter 1, verse 4. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Listen, I am tired of hearing messages that tell me I'm just a dirty old sinner. I'm tired of hearing that I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Thank God that I am, but I'm a son of the living God. And what He has put in me is His Word. And if His Word comes out of me, my joy can be full. And if it's coming out of me, where it goes, it has to return, and it's got to bring everything back with it that it says it's supposed to go get. There's angels assigned to my life that have to be at work. Some of y'all got some fat, lazy angels. Y'all ain't been working them. I'm serious. You got to work them. That's what they're there for. It's kind of dumb for you to have to be building a wall and you paying laborers to do it. Some of y'all understand that. What am I trying to get into you? You are not some lowly piece of flesh who is not valuable to God. You are everything and more. When He looks at you, He sees Jesus. And all He wants to see is Jesus working like Jesus worked when He was here. All He wants to see is the Word coming out of you like it came out of Jesus. The Word became flesh. Let your flesh become the Word. Because God has more for you than you're walking in now. God has more for this church than we're walking in now. God has more for your children. God has more for your legacy. Listen, here's the thing. There are people in your life you're believing God for, and you've gotten so broken down over it. It's time for you to stand up and know that He is God in you. And you're saying the Word, and it has to come to pass. And whether they like it or not, the Bible says that every knee shall bow. And every tongue. And that ain't just on the day that we end up in heaven. That's now. Whether they like it or whether they don't like it, that Word has authority. And that Word being used in the voice of somebody who understands who they are in Christ and who Christ is in them, it has to come to pass. And if you will learn to see it like it already is, it has to start making itself that way. It has to. This is why faith has got to be in you so strong. Doesn't matter if you know the ABCs of faith, or the 1, 2, 3s of righteousness. It doesn't know if you know the 15 keys to wisdom. Do you know Jesus? Do you know that His blood covers you? And that blood is still powerful. You have to stop seeing yourself in this thing. When you're saying the Word, the spirit realm don't even see you. It sees Jesus. And it's still scared. And it still freaks out. And it still runs. But the minute that you put you in it, it realizes, hey, wait, they're perpetrating. But you're not a perpetrator. You're a son. And if you'll learn to take all this stuff, listen, every Sunday you get this stuff. Every single Sunday. Wednesday nights, man, y'all got more on 12 Wednesday nights than I've preached in my life. My God in heaven. We went from being arrogant to the tithe to winning. I mean, we touched everything, but it made us better. It made us stronger. We saw blessings come out of that thing because it's your destiny that God's trying to get you to. And it's your character that's stopping you from getting there. Because your dream is fighting with your character. And God's trying to get your character under the blood that your dream can crank up and get you to your destiny. Because when you wake up and you see what God's called you to do, that's your purest state. But the minute you begin to talk, you put you in it. And it's time for us to just hush. Hush. That's my favorite word. Somebody call me and tell me, hey, I got you a cake fix at the house. Hush. I love it. That means everything else needs to stop. Moment of silence for chocolate cake. And now they make them sugar-free. Oh, son. And that tastes good, too. So what does that mean? That means God cares about everything you're going through. Listen to me now. God cares about everything you're going through. But God doesn't care about everything you're going through to the point that that should be what rules your life. God cares about it, but God's ultimate desire is that the word begin to come out of your mouth about it. I told a story at Canaan Land. I don't know if I've ever told y'all this or not. We connected with some pretty big people. And I've learned God's my source. I don't care who's sitting across the desk from me. They're not my source. But when I was first learning this, I remember it was in the old building. I was like, God, if I was sitting across the desk from, Zig Ziglar, Donald Trump, all these kabillionaires, I would love to ask them, if you were in my shoes, what would you do? And immediately God said, why don't you ask me?